Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Top Advisor Marketing Radio. Once again, you know, we really try to do whatever we can to get some of the best thought leaders that we can on this show when it comes to marketing, especially in the financial services arena. And our guest today is John Franco, the founder and president of Triple R Media. And you're going to find out a lot more about what that means here in just a second as we get to know John a little better. John, thank you very much. Tell us where you're talking to today. Where are you from?
Yeah, we are based in Chicago.
Fantastic. Just across the lake from me. I was just in Chicago on Monday.
Yeah, it's gotten a lot warmer.
Yeah, yes. So
it's about 60 today.
It's spring-like, dude. It's a little eerie. Yeah. I'm right there with you. So, Absolutely. Well, so talk to us a little bit about the experience that you have working in this space with financial services professionals specifically.
Yeah, we are very focused on the private client or high net worth. I'll just use private client. Financial services sector. 80% of our business is in that space. That includes, you know, the insurance side of the business as well. And our experience with them is we really help them attract, engage, and cultivate relationships, meaning whether it's with clients, that be individuals or families or, you know, high net worth executives or centers of influence. So that's how we've been engaged with the financial services space. And we've been doing it for about 4 years now, and it's been really successful, and people are really enjoying what we do.
Well, and I'm really excited for you to share a little bit more about that success, because obviously from the way that you just explained that, engaging and cultivating leads or opportunities with high net worth and ultra high net worth is really what most advisors kind of, it's like kind of like their dream, right? And you are successfully doing that. So we're going to dive into that a little bit more as we continue through the questions. But how did you focus on this industry? I mean, this is not one of those things where most people wake up and say, you know, I want to do this for financial advisors. So John, how did you end up here?
Yeah, it wasn't something that I just woke up with. It was I have a really bad habit of you know, not being able to let go of good problems. Good problems meaning that it's something that's there that people are having a challenge with, and you're getting asked questions. And it really happened during my days at Google when I ran a team at Google. We were meeting with a financial services company that was a private bank, and their business is all about relationships. Right, and they posed a couple questions to us that we really had difficulty answering, which is kind of odd for Google. And we thought about it for months on end, and that question just never got answered. So even after I left Google, that question kind of stuck in the back of my mind. And then I came upon a solution and decided to build a company around solving, you know, providing a remedy for that problem.
Well, so let's talk about that problem and that remedy, because our next question is really, what does your company do exactly and for whom? So break that down a little bit more for it, please.
Okay. Yeah. The problem is that the high net worth space, right, it's really driven through relationships. We've, you know, over the last 4 years spoken with hundreds, if not thousands of, you know, private client financial services firms. And one of the questions we always ask them is, what drives your business, right? And it always, the answer has been every single time, it's through relationships, right? Our best business comes through referrals, whether that be through clients or centers of influence. And as we dig deeper with prospective clients about that, it really starts coming to surface that they don't have a system in place, right, to really nurture relationships. And it's kind of funny that relationships fuel the business, but we find many people not fueling the relationships. And that, you know, we're really careful to say that in the high net worth space, that you have to be very sensitive about that, right, about how you fuel that. People don't want to be bombarded. They're solicited heavy right? Private clients are solicited very heavy. So you have to be somewhat passive about it and how you stay in front of them. And it really, when you break down relationship marketing, it's, you know, the first questions are, how are you staying top of mind with your clients? And I also like, you know, how are you increasing mind share, right? Because top of mind is when someone thinks of a particular service, they think of you, right? But the challenge is people aren't always thinking of wealth management, right? Or financial services.
Oh, come on. Really, dude?
They don't wake up every day and have their coffee and be like, you know, I'm thinking about my financial, you know, my wealth manager right now. It just doesn't happen that way. So the idea is, you know, top of mind's great, but what I really like to help clients focus on is mind share. How do you get more of that mind share? How do you, I like to use the phrase, how do you increase your sphere of influence with someone, right? Beyond just your specialty. Because you really want to be a resource for them, whether it's financial services or, you know, they have some other question that has to do with their wealth or is correlated with, right? It's insurance or even, you know, they're going to sell their house and they're looking for a luxury real estate agent. You want to try to be, right, within that sphere of influence, you know, an advisor that they're going to rely on, you know, for questions beyond wealth management. That's how you increase that mind share with people, right? It's just not when they're thinking about your specific service, but all around. Because, you know, when you really, really break it down to wealth managers or I'm just going to use private client financial services, you're really supporting a lifestyle. Right? It's not just, I do wealth management. It's no, I'm helping you achieve, maintain, and manage a lifestyle. My specific specialty is just happens to be the wealth portion of it. But in order to do that well, you need to be more educated on more than just the wealth management side of it. You need to understand that lifestyle, what, you know, private clients really want. So we, you know, that back to that relationship problem of with this private banking, and you know, from there asking, like, we are 100% driven through relationships. And, you know, what really works for us is being able to stay in front of our relationships in a way that is not bombarding them, you know, that still conveys that we care. You know, and that's very difficult for us because, you know, and being Google at that time, you know, we were thinking about digital tools. But the question that poses, you know, once everybody has a digital tool, there's going to be nothing special about it. You know, how do you stay special and top of mind with the client in a way that they enjoy, that they're not feeling bombarded? So that's really what it came down to as of us thinking when we were forming a company of, okay, this space is driven by relationships. So the number one thing is, you know, how are advisors making it easy and fun for their relationships to think of them often and share them with others? Right. And if you think about that question, if an advisor can achieve that, their business is going to boom.
Yeah, totally. It's just
if they're relationship driven. So how do you do that? And that's, you know, that's the question that or this what we solve, you know, that problem of how do you stay in front of people in a way they enjoy and that's fun and that they share with other people.
And I love the fact that you're bringing that up in relationships everything kind of waxes and wanes, right? Seminars work for a while and then they don't work for a while, and direct mail works for a while and then it doesn't work for a really long time. But, you know, when it comes to a customizable touch point that allows you to brand yourself a little bit more successfully, I think that's really the solution that you guys have created, or am I way off there?
Yeah, no, you're dead on. What we have done, you know, through researching the space is people with wealth, they love lifestyle, right? They love reading about travel, food, wine, art, culture, architecture. And as we dug into it, it became more and more evident. It was a really simple solution in a way of let's give them exactly what they want, right? Let's make an opportunity for an advisor to be in front of their clients, right? More than just when they're thinking about wealth management, but on a daily basis, either in their home or their office, in a way they enjoy, with content they enjoy. Because they might need to talk about wealth management, but again, it's not the first thing on their mind all the time. They much rather talk about how they're going to go take, you know, a wonderful trip with their family, right?
Well, and wealth management is just the facilitator, right? The permission slip to be able to live that lifestyle that you want.
Exactly. So what we came down to is thinking about people with wealth. It's okay, let's give them the content that they want, right? And when we were doing this research 4 years ago, and even back to my Google's days, is that we knew high net worth individuals loved magazines, print magazines, high quality print magazines, right? Something that's tactile, that they can put everything down, they can just relax with it, and they can enjoy it. The challenge had been, and if you look at magazines, the you know, the magazines, the space has actually increased in the number of titles out there in terms of lifestyle, specialty. Mm-hmm. All those have grown, right? Even with millennials, if you look at all the gaming magazines, all those things, people love magazines. The news magazines kind of went to the side because that's very good digital content, just quick information. You read it, you're done with it, right? It's over. But total magazine titles have continually grown, even through 2008, you know, up to today. But they've become more specific in terms of lifestyle, right, content. So it's really telling us that people love lifestyle content. The other challenge is the quality of the magazines started to going down. Thinner paper, less content, more ads. So the consumer was becoming frustrated. So for us, we thought about it of this way, of like, let's give, you know, a high net worth individual exactly what they want, just a beautiful high-end magazine, high-end paper, great written, you know, great editorial content, great imagery that they can sit down and enjoy. Then we approached it from a marketing tool. Well, how do we give an advisor the ultimate relationship marketing tool, right? And if you think about it, you want to own the relationship, right? You want exclusive voice with that relationship. You want to make them feel special and have it be kind of a customized experience. So in a nutshell, what we came up with was the idea at that point, the concept of we will give advisors their own high-end, right, lifestyle content built for that market, right? And when we say, you know, our customers serve the top 2%, right? Top 1 or 2% in the wealth management space or in the net worth space. So we built a magazine that basically becomes advisors' own private label magazine, mm-hmm. and they get exclusive use with the households that they send it to and the relationships they send it to. There's no ads in it other than them, right? Those ads that they have can be customized, so you could do, you know, one marketing message goes to clients, thank you so much for the business. Another to your COIs, we enjoy doing business with you and building business with you. To prospects, we look forward to an opportunity to work with you. You can even segment it down to the one-to-one level, right? Mm. We do business in the luxury real estate space. Luxury real estate agent will sell a house. They'll drop the house in the magazine in their marketing space and say, thank you so much for the business, right? Mm-hmm. So, and being applicable to advisors, it works really well with like client events. Let's say you're doing a small, intimate client events, because those are the type of events that work with high net worth people, right? The big luncheons don't. They're about the company. They're not about the client, right? It's, you know, it ends up being an exercise in trying to fill seats. Mm-hmm. So an advisor could say, look, I'm doing a high-end scotch tasting or wine tasting or, you know, a small event for car aficionados, and there's only going to be 15 people, you know, that are invited to this event. They could create that invitation. We can drop it in their marketing space in the magazine, which is the covers, invite those 15 people, and everybody else that receives the magazine, right, gets something else.
Well, let's talk about goals now. Let's talk about success and goals for not just your company, but for you personally. So what do you want to achieve? If, you know, we fast forward 10 years from now, and you're really looking at this. What does Triple R Media look like?
Yeah, for Triple R, we will, you know, our mission is to help those, right, that are working with relationship-driven businesses to build stronger relationships. Right. And there may be other publications or other, I like to say, tools, right? Relationship management tools that we come out with for different industries and segments. But it's really about strengthening the relationships, right? Because I think as we become more and more digital, I think people are forgetting that business is still, and life is still, about relationships, right? And that contact with so that's, you know, that's our really our goal, is to really help people build stronger relationships with the people that they want to.
Well, and I'm assuming that's also what success looks like to you too, right? Is to make sure that your clients are really digging on what you're doing. And not only are your clients, but their end user, right? The ultra high net worth and high net worth are really enjoying and getting great value out of what you've produced.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, from a company standpoint, I look at success with really two metrics, right? And I tend to be very analytical, so this surprises some people, but I really look at it from a high level from two metrics. One is customer retention, right? The other one that I look at is customer referrals, because we are a strong referral-based business too. A lot of our clients will introduce us to people that they also think the magazine is fitting for. So like insurance agents will, you know, introduce us to wealth managers to luxury real estate people, obviously not competitors. So it's usually outside their area, but a specific field, but we get a lot of our business from, you know, from clients referring them to us. And that's obviously a strong indicator. If you've got happy clients referring business to you, everything else just seems to fall right into place. Right. So that's how we look at success, is really that client retention and referral level.
When it comes to business, since you have some experience in the world of business, and especially with your time at Google and life in general, what is your go-to resource? So, a lot of people answer this in a couple of different ways, and so I'm going to kind of split the question. You know, as a host and as a coach and as a consultant, I have go-to books, right? Like, yeah. I'll meet a client. I'll be like, okay, here, you know, first off, I want to see if you're serious, read this. Or, hey, did you see this TED talk? Or, you know, here's a great exercise to do. What are your go-to things? Like, if you want to try to initiate a relationship with somebody, or when somebody says to you, gosh, John, you know, you've been really successful, you know, give me one book that you've read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, it would be really hard for me to pick one book, Matt, that'd be hard for me to do, because I do quite a bit. So if people ask, you know, about sales books, I'll give them, you know, there's a host of sales books that I like, or marketing books. There's, you know, a bunch of different marketing resources that I do like and books. But one thing I say is read a lot, right? Read as much as you can on the area that you're interested in. But that, you know, that's, you know, I also challenge people with that. That doesn't mean you just go read about wealth management. You think about wealth management and the components that exist to a successful business of wealth management. Mm-hmm. So if it's, you know, relationships are important. Great. Mm-hmm. Read about developing relationships. You know, that might have more to do with psychology than it does wealth management, right? Mm-hmm. But read about, you know, those specific areas. There's obviously the technical aspects of it. You know, how are you, you know, a good financial technician, right? But then also, if it's more about developing relationships and trust, if those are key components, you know, in the industry, you should read more about those things, right? And there's, you know, a ton of great information online, or, you know, books to do those type of things. Mm-hmm. I also tend to be one of those people that like to challenge people to think about their own business, because I think we have a lot of great answers within us. Right, it's just taking that time to sit down and think about our business and what really drives it, and then focus on that. And that goes back to that question that I started with. You know, when I just did a speaking engagement a while ago at the Private Risk Management Association, and a lot of people were asking questions about how do I develop, you know, relationships with centers of influence and clients, and, you know, I don't live a high net worth lifestyle, but, you know, they do. So how do I make? And it goes back to that question of, if your business is relationship driven, right? You know, what are you doing to make it easy and interesting or fun for your relationships that help you fuel your business, think of you often? Right. And outside of a business context, because, again, back to that mind share, you want to grow, you want them thinking about you even when they're not thinking about the business mm-hmm. that you do. Right. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of that is, how do you get them to share you with others? Right. Mm-hmm. How do you provide it? Because, you know, people with wealth, everybody's busy, but people particularly with wealth have a lot to do, and they tend to be very successful and busy individuals. And it's not that they don't want to refer you. And you've probably seen, you know, the data that's out there, it's like 68% of the people that, you know, work with advisors would be happy to, you know, suggest the advisors in a mm-hmm. referral, but they don't do it. And it doesn't come back to, it's just that they're not top of mind. It's mm-hmm. just that they're not thinking about wealth management all the time. So the idea is, how do you make it easy for them to remember you, right? Sure. To share you with other people.
So who's your hero? We're going to switch gears here, because this is a good opportunity for us to have a chance to, you know, uncover a little bit more who John is. So who is your hero? Who do you look up to? You know, who is a person who's been fiercely influential in your life?
Yeah, I was very, very, and it's interesting. It drives a lot what I do today. And it goes back to my childhood, my grandfather. He was a fighter pilot. that after the military was actually a insurance advisor and in the Orange County area, California. So dealt with, you know, some high net worth individuals and so forth. And he was, you know, a wonderful individual. When he spoke, you know, it was words of wisdom, you know, that came out, or compassion. You know, he really took the time to understand people. And I think from his experience being an immigrant, a fighter pilot, you know, seeing all those tragedies in life, right? Really, with him, what really stuck to it is it's all about people and it's all about relationships. And he was fantastic at building really strong, meaningful relationships. And he had tremendous respect for everybody, you know, no matter what form of life they came from. Vivid memory of me is I would go out on the porch with him, and he'd come out there and he'd have three cups of coffee, you know, his in one hand and two in the other. The garbage men would pull up, he'd walk down and give them both a cup of coffee. And he'd say hello to them. And it was really interesting. He also had the cleanest, you know, trash cans were always set after they were emptied perfectly, not tipped over, all that.
Yeah.
But he really genuinely cared about people and relationships, and he really knew how to build them really well. Without being, for lack of better words, cheesy or anything like that. He just genuinely cared about people.
Well, and so that was a huge lesson that you learned from your grandfather. If you were able to wave a magic wand so that advisors would learn the one big lesson that you wish that they would internalize, what would that big lesson be?
Yeah, that, you know, big lesson is if your goal is to strengthen and grow your business, right, and it's a relationship-driven business, right, don't forget about the relationships you already have, you know, that are sitting – you know, right under your nose, because they're likely your most powerful and most economical business development resource. I mean, they're sitting right there. And what we see with a lot of advisors, you know, through all our conversations with them, is they know this. They know their relationships are important. They know their relationships are the best source of business that they have. But when you get down asking to what systems do you have in place to fuel those relationships, most of them, it's just random, ad hoc, I send a thank you note, which is great, and you should be doing those things. But those are far and few between. There's really very far and few between. Is there a system to really genuinely stay in front of people in a way they enjoy? It's going to help those people remember, right, their advisor, and also share their advisor.
Right.
There's, you know, it's look and find a system that's going to work for you, right? And most importantly, work for your clients and that they're going to enjoy. Because if they enjoy it, they're you know,
yeah.
So people enjoy things that they, you know, that they're having fun with,
right?
Or remember things that they enjoy and are having fun with.
And we've been talking about the high net worth and ultra high net worth. So I'm pretending to give you $1 billion right now, which is, you know, what some of the people who are, you know, being targeted by your product and service here. But if you had $1 billion, what would you do differently?
Yeah, I don't know if I look at it as do anything differently. And I often avoid the what if questions, but it's, I know this. I can tell you this. 90% of it would go to philanthropic efforts, right? To giving back, you know, 10% of that would be plenty. From there, you know, who knows, you know, what I would do. I know I would spend a lot of time on that 90%, doing philanthropic work, because it, you know, it's one, personally rewarding. I really enjoy it. I do a lot of it now. I do a lot of it with kids. I fly fish and I teach kids. We take them, you know, to the park here in Chicago, teach them how to cast, teach them about the environment, just get them outside. I get a lot of, and it's personally rewarding.
Yeah. Cool. Well, if you do get that $1 billion, make sure you come back on the show. We'll have a fun one on that one. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Well, I think it'd be really cool to fly. You know, my grandfather being a fighter pilot, me at one stage of my life thinking that, you know, was my dream, but something that's a little bit more grounded, I guess you could say, and maybe, you know, upon on flying would, you know, I'd really like the ability to help people find their passion in life, right? And just as important as finding that passion is then, you know, really helping them develop that inner confidence and courage just to pursue it relentlessly. Hmm. Life's short, you know. There's no dress rehearsal in it. So when you really find something that you're passionate about, and you attach, and that doesn't mean that that has to be, you know, your job, you know, your career. But even if it's more a vocation or a hobby, that, you know, that will fuel other good things in your life.
Right.
Right. If you're enjoying yourself, enjoying your life, enjoying, you know, the fruits of your, you know, labor, you know, and it's a passion, you know, that's really meaningful to you. I feel, you know, I know it, you know, with my passion of fly fishing, you give more openly and genuinely, right, to other people. And the, you know, it's, you know, what you put in is what you get out, I think is probably the best way I can talk.
Well, when you're talking about, you know, fuel and putting stuff in and getting stuff out, one of the best ways to recharge your batteries is music, right? So who's your favorite musician and why?
Yeah, Keith, well, I'm a big Rolling Stones fan. I think Keith Richards is a great musician. There's many of them, though, you know, out there. The reason he stands out is I read an article years ago about Keith Richards. I believe it was in Rolling Stone magazine. And they asked him about his skull ring that he wears. And I thought it was going to be some, you know, macho, tough, you know, kind of rock star type of thing. But it, you could just almost in the writing, you could feel him get quiet and look at the ring. And it was, you know, he said it reminds him that underneath the skin, we're all the same.
Hmm. You know, it's amazing that man is still alive. I'm sorry. You know, anybody who talks about Keith Richards, I just think to myself, I don't think that guy is ever going to die. I honestly think he's going to live forever. And, you know, good for him, because he's a heck of a musician. And I'm glad you're a Stones fan, man. That's they're an amazing, amazing band. So when you were a kid, right? So most of us got involved with our music when we were younger. When you were a kid, though, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, there were real. There were. That's a great question. There were two things, and I mentioned one already. It was a fighter pilot, right? I thought I wanted to be a fighter pilot. The other one was a fly fisherman, and I mentioned that a little bit. I remember this picturesque scene when I was 5 years old, and I saw, you know, this gentleman fly fishing in the stream. I turned to my sister that was with us. We were camping up in Yosemite. I'm like, that's what I want to do, and you know, to this day, that's still my, you know, avocational passion, I guess you could say. The fighter pilot, that honestly, that was probably, that didn't happen for the right reasons, and it was probably the maturest decision I ever made in my life. I tend to be a very independent individual, and that doesn't necessarily mix too well with military life.
Not really. No, man. No, I can firsthand on that one. I can agree with you. Hey, by the way, one of these days you should take a trip down I-94 and come over here to Southwest Michigan, because we have some of the best fly fishing areas in the country, at least in the Midwest. So you and I both share that passion, my friend. I happen to be a huge fan of fly fishing, and I enjoy it a whole bunch. What is your biggest failure? See, now this is a perfect one, because I fail all the time miserably as I'm fishing, but you know, when I get my line all tied up anyway. So what was your biggest failure, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I have plenty of failures, so it's really hard to just pick one out. And I think I have plenty of failures, because I tend to be a pretty tough critic of myself. But the, you know, the most important thing I've drawn from all those or learned from them comes from, frankly, a saying I recently picked up from my 11-year-old son. We were doing a student conference with him, and he was in, you know, the conference with the teacher. And he was having a problem, you know, learning this thing. And he goes, but I know I'm just failing forward. And it I had never heard anybody put it that way, right? And I said, well, where does that come from? He goes, well, our class was kind of stuck on these things and having a hard time. And we decided that the right way to look at, you know, failure was just to fail forward. And as we dug deeper into it, it really, you know, jived with how I look at failure. And that is, you know, you need to own it. Mm-hmm. You need to reflect on it. You need to learn from it. And then you need to just get up and keep going. Mm.
My son painted something in art. My kids are right around the age of your kid. And it says, when is the last time you tried to level up? And I was thinking to myself, I was like, that's deep, man. And of course, he's just talking about freaking Minecraft or something. But, you know, I'm an adult and I'm like, damn, man, when is the last time you try? So from the mouths of babes, you know, some of the greatest wisdom really does come when you're least expecting it. Okay, well, to wrap everything up today, John, first off, thank you very, very much for talking to our audience about some new ways, which are actually kind of old ways, but you're putting a wonderful new spin on marketing. I love the fact that you're bringing something that is truly unique. There isn't anybody else I haven't found when I was doing research on you to prepare for the podcast. I'm not really seeing other people who are doing this. So you're occupying an incredibly unique space. And if anybody wants to find out more about this, how can they contact you directly?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. You can go to LinkedIn, right? And you can find me at John Francott, JohnFrankot. Send me an email or contact request and happy to connect that way. Or through email, and that would be at john.frankot@triplermedia.com. So that's TRIPLERMEDIA.com.
And your website?
Yeah, website is for Life Refined Magazine, which is what we're talking about, is liferefinedmagazine.com.
Okay.
So just LIFEREFINEDMAGAZINE.com. Or if you, you know, go to Google and search, it definitely comes up.
Well, and we will make sure we'll make sure that we have all of that stuff in the show notes for you today so that people can reach out. And in fact, just in closing here, I just want everybody to know that LinkedIn is actually how I met John. You know, I had posted something or you had posted something. I don't even remember what it was. And it sparked a conversation. And it made it so that, you know, now I have a better idea so that I can refer you to my clients. Hopefully you'll be able to do the same thing. And also the best part about it is you were able to drop some serious knowledge on our audience that we have here on Top Advisor Marketing Radio. So, John, thank you very, very much for being with us today.
You bet, Matt. It was great. I really appreciate the opportunity. And, you know, glad to come back another time as well.
And you know what? We would be happy to have you. So for John Frankett, this is Matt Halloran from Top Advisor Marketing Radio. I hope you have a magnificent day.